Okay. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Everybody here? Yeah. Last week, I used this scripture in part of the message, and I'm going to start there again, and then go off in a little bit different direction. Last week, we ended up talking about his ways being higher than our ways, and we went down that path. So I'm going to be talking about our thoughts today. So it says here in Isaiah 55, verse 8, this is God speaking, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." I'll just stop with that. And you know, the place that we get hit the most in terms of being able to move on with God, walk with the Lord, have a sense of joy, know what He's saying, is all in our minds, isn't it? So we're going to talk about that today. I'm going to start out with kind of on the negative side a little bit, and then we're going to get into some positive situations here from the scripture. But what are the differences? The Lord tells us that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How are our thoughts different than His? Because we can all have a generalized, well, of course, I mean, they're higher than, you know, he's smart. But so give me some particulars about how you think about that. In what ways is the Lord's thoughts different than ours?
Many of our thoughts are selfish.
Okay, good.
We're self-centered.
There's a self-centeredness to our thoughts.
Certainly.
What's good for me? Type of thing.
Short range. He knows the whole picture. We see
We only see a little piece of it. Very good. Anything else? How else is this thought?
The Lord is holy, and we're tainted by sin.
Yeah.
So the foundation is different.
Yeah. Sin gets in the way and influences how we think. Isn't that right? Anything else? This is all good.
Some of our thoughts are all over the place, too. You know,
yeah.
They change.
We're
it's almost like you have no control over some of them, too.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah. We're going to address all of these things here that you're talking about. Anything else? This is really good. This is very good, what you guys said. Okay, so let's go to Psalm 94. If you would, we're going to jump through a number of scriptures, so I hope you're ready to do that. Psalm 94. So, Psalm 94, verse 11. This is what the scripture tells us. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Our thoughts a lot are empty. In the Living Translation, I think it says, our thoughts are just a mere breath. Is that how it says it?
Yes.
Yeah. There's not much to them. When we are not connected with God, our thoughts really don't have the depth or the long-lasting eternal quality to them that there is with the way God is. And it's all because of all the different things that were mentioned here about what the differences are between our thoughts and his thoughts. Now, I'm laying this negative side of the picture here first, because I want to end on the positive side. But I want us to really realize that in many, many cases, because we grow up in a fallen world and we're in a fallen state, it's so easy to have created thought habits that we're not even aware of. Isn't that right? Attitudes that come along. And even right now, I have good thought habits. We don't really see much of it. What's the problem? I think I'm doing okay. You know? And yet, there's something that God wants to say to us today about being very much more careful about our thoughts, about giving over to God our thoughts. We'll look at this a little bit more here. You're not going to have to turn to it, but Romans 8, 6 and 7, and 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3, all talk about how we're carnal in the way that we think. And it goes through all those things that we talk about. There's a selfishness. There's a pride. There is that thing about our thoughts that look to build ourselves up. It's just there. That's that flesh side of the way that we think. We get insulted. We become fearful. Any of the kind of emotional things that are in that flesh realm, we have embraced. Every single one of us. We're human. This is how it is. And this is why his thoughts are above our thoughts. He's not taken by any of that. Jesus says that we judge, so we're thinking and judging, we judge by appearances and not with righteous judgment. We use the way we perceive things and formulate in our minds ideas about people, about situations, and we have to be something more than that. And that's where we're going to go here as we talk. All right. So I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and this is where we're going to go from the end of our negative talking, and we're going to go into a more positive vein for us to grab a hold of what the Lord wants to say to us today. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. All right, we're gonna read verses 18 and 19. We're gonna talk a little bit, and then we're gonna read some of the other verses after that. Here's something about our own thoughts. Starting in verse 18, it talks about the vanity of their mind. Up at the end of 17, it says their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, I'm going to stop there. I want to really focus on this concept of ignorance. What's it mean to be ignorant? We've talked about this a number of times before. What's it mean to be ignorant?
Not knowing the truth.
You don't know the truth. We don't know what we really should know. We should know more about what's happening inside of us when situations are taking place. How it's affecting us, and not be ignorant of the enemy's devices as he works his little schemes to take us off. See, we don't even want to even think about that, do we? So we're gonna continue here, starting in verse 20, and we're going to make the flip here. In verse 20 it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former," what's the right word there? "Behavior. Put off that old man behavior, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." And then here, "and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." So, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, we have an opportunity to think differently. I don't know about you. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've changed in a lot of ways with the way I think. But you know, I think I should be a lot further along. Don't you feel that way? I should be a lot further along. I'm still ignorant over the enemy's devices, and I'm not honest enough with my own self about being able to see things that I can give to God and say, "Please, God, help me in this regard." Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So I want to take what's being said here and really apply it in my life. I want us to grab a hold of this, because you know, if we're gonna seek him and walk in his ways, it really starts up here. It's the way we think. It's the way we approach situations and people, and those things have to change from the way they are, right? I think Reggie mentioned it. We are a people of change, or should be, right? We should really desire for God to be doing that work in us. In one of the songs, it's describing God, and it says, "And he's turning our lives around." Oh my gosh. That is exactly the kind of people that God really is looking for and desires. People that will allow him to change their lives around. And our lives aren't getting turned around if our thoughts aren't. Right? Our thought life, our mind, is where it all is. And I know that there was the Frangipane book that you guys studied, The Battlegrounds of the Mind. You know, this is where it is, where everything gets centered. Where the enemy hits you is in your mind. presents fear to you, takes you down a path of depression, of hopelessness, of whatever way that he can to get you and I, get us so that we feel alone and separated. There's myriad things that the enemy knows how to do. And we become less effective in this world when we're getting so battered around and kicked and stomped on, and it's our minds that have kept us locked in this continual personal battle. Right? You understand what I'm saying?
All right. Absolutely. So let's look at some of these things. First of all, so that we understand this, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ. Now, you look at that and you go, wow, at least there's hope for that.
Yeah, there's a light there.
Yeah, it's I would put it this way, for us to really understand this. We have the mind of Christ at our disposal. Right?
Yes.
It isn't that we have the mind of Christ in and of ourselves. And people, as churches, have gotten off on all kinds of little rabbit trails, saying that, well, we have the mind of Christ, so every thought that I think is God's thoughts. Well, that's not true, is it?
No.
But people want to, and it's like any thought that they have, oh, this is God speaking to me. Because I have the mind of Christ and he's speaking to my mind, and this is what... No, that is not what happens. For me to prove that to you, just so we understand, it's God's mind is our disposal. Jesus' mind is our disposal for him to speak to us and for us to hear what are his thoughts, right? But in first... I'm going to make sure I get this right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it says that we have to be careful lest the enemy leads our mind astray from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. So, yes, his mind is at our disposal, but we've got to be careful that we're not led astray, which means that some of the thoughts that can come into our mind, it's either our own carnal thoughts or it's the thoughts of the enemy who's trying to plant something there to take us down the wrong road. Right? So, just be careful of that. But what's good about this is that He's always there for us. He's always ready to speak to us, isn't he? Right?
Yes. Now, come up with that. 2 Corinthians 11, what?
3. 11, 3. Okay. So, let's talk about the kind of mind that we really should have. Would you go to Philippians chapter 2. Start verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Oh, what's vainglory? Pride. Is there anybody here who thinks that this doesn't apply to you? Is there anybody that, I don't need to hear this?
Well, this pride right there.
Yeah, that would be pride right there, wouldn't it? There was something that, in one of the other songs. Raise a hallelujah. And I was thinking about how
God's thoughts, what he thinks of us, especially worship songs that have scripture that is being used as the words with the music, but even anything that isn't exactly scriptural but is promoting a particular scriptural theme. Those words wash our minds. We have corrupted minds. We have minds that can that are dirtied up, that are in the dark in many places. And God wants to change that. And he washes us. Washes by the speaking and the reading of the word. Right? Isn't that right? And so we're washed. Worship songs can bathe our minds and clean our minds. Doesn't that happen to you a lot when you come in? You know, you have the cares of this life and things that are happening that are bothersome to you, or you know, whatever it might be. And you come in and you just relax in the presence of the words of God as they're singing. And this is what's really good about singing songs to yourself or playing something on a disc or listening to it on the internet or whatever. We should do that because it washes our minds. It's a funny thing about us. We hear this, our spirits witness to this, and yet there's something about our flesh nature that it's the pig returning to the mire. You know, I hope that you and I, all of us, want to not just fall back on the way that we think about things and the attitudes that we have toward people, that God can wash some of these old things that are in our heads, that are in our minds, and we're not even aware of. Like, was it Sylvia that said we're not even aware of some of the what we need to get rid of in our life? There's places there, and I want this for me in a real kind of sense, and for you that we really better be people that aren't just talking about change, but that we are really seeking and taking a hold of God working in our hearts the real change. That's going to come from an attitude of heart. And it's going to come from hearing and being obedient, right? Going to have to do that. And like it said there in Ephesians, you know, we have to, I'm going to go back. Put off the old ways of thinking. Who does that? Who's putting it off? Is it God that's putting it off? He doesn't have it. He doesn't have to put off anything. Who's the one that has to make it determined? We don't have the power. But who makes the determination in our hearts that says, I don't want this anymore. I really do want to serve God. I want to please Him. And actually mean it. And then go through some things after you say something like that, and you fall on your face and you go, boy, I didn't mean it as much as I thought I did. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what happens?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then what does that do to you and I?
Discouraged.
Huh? We get discouraged, but you know what happens, I think, for any of us?
You're depressed.
We might go low for a little bit because we didn't. I failed again. But every single one of us who continue to walk with God, we go, no,
No, I really do want this. I don't care what my feelings are about certain things in my life or how I failed in getting rid of something that I want to get rid of. I am not giving up. I am persevering. And that's the one thing that God has spoken to me for the last month and a half now. He keeps saying in my ear, persevere. Don't stop. Follow me. And don't let up. And don't get discouraged. And don't get downtrodden when little things don't go your way now. Really, I've seen some things about myself where I'm a little baby sometimes. Right? It's like most men when they get sick. We're little babies because we want our wives to really take, oh, I'm not feeling so good today. Right. So, but that happens, right? And we need to grow up in areas of our life and not looking for sympathy and anything else. No, God wants us to grow up, be a mature person in Him, and really, we'll never get to the maturity we need to if we continue to play around with the same old thoughts and the same old attitudes. And when you leave here today, when I leave here today, I hope before any of us leave that you say in your heart, and I've already said, but I'm going to keep saying it too, God, I am pursuing you to the end.
Amen.
I am persevering. I'm believing, Lord, for you to continue. And I want you to change me. And I know that that's going to not be such a wonderful experience. But I'm willing for that to happen. I need my thoughts changed. What was that show? There was a movie a long time ago. I think it was Steve McQueen that was in it. There's this, make my mind right, boss. He was a prisoner and he got a chain gang. No, Cool Hand Luke. That's what it was. It was Cool Hand Luke, right? So here he is. He's Cool Hand Luke, and he's a swaggering kind of guy. Being in this chain gang, he ends up getting beaten down, and he's tired of it. He says, "Make my mind right, boss," because he's always coming up with ways to try to escape or to do something sneaky to the guards or to whatever it is. He can't get out of that kind of thought pattern. He's just driven by that, right? And so he gets to the point where he's getting beat up so bad, he says, "Make my mind right, boss," which I've always laughed at, and I thought, hey, wait a minute. God, make my mind right. Right? Make my mind right, God. Because my mind is corrupted. It's carnal. It's fleshy. It's moved around by the wrong kinds of emotions. We're moved by fears and anxieties. And that's natural, but we have to learn how to overcome it. We're here to be overcomers. Right? And that's really important for us. I wanted to... No, I guess I won't. This will probably be something for some other time. Anybody ever heard of the kenosis theory? Okay. I'll bring that up. That's not ketosis. No. Kenosis. All right. It's the whole thing about Jesus. It's in this Philippians chapter 2. Did I read this yet?
No,
Philippians.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, you did.
But only 2 and 3, right?
Think about this one.
Okay.
Yourself.
Right. So, let's jump down to verse 5. All right, I'll talk to you about this in a minute. Verse 5 says this: "Let this mind or mindset be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We're to have this kind of mindset. Okay? And what it was is what it says up there in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Oh, that's right. We got off on vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let us esteem each other better than ourselves. Don't look... look not every man on his own things, but also every man on the things of others. And then he says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus wasn't just concerned about himself. He was always outward looking, wasn't he?
Yes.
And then verse 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it, that equality with God had was not something to hold on to, but made himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant. That whole concept is called the kenosis of Christ. That's the Greek word, kenosis. And it means the emptying of himself. All right. But there's some weird kenosis theories out there that takes the divinity of Christ away. Some preachers are preaching these days that when Jesus emptied himself, he emptied himself of his Godhood and was only a man while he was here. That's out there. That's out there in groups you would not think. Some very popular groups. So,
but I won't go into that today. All right. So, a humble mind. A mind that's not looking to exalt themselves. Right? If we're going to have the mind of Christ, we can't be in it for some kind of benefit for ourselves. Right? I think that's pretty obvious. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is what the Lord says. You know, we have access. We have an ability to access the mind of Christ. And here he says it in this kind of way. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Very familiar scripture to all of us. It says this: for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And what's the last one?
Sound.
A sound mind. Is there somebody that has it translated differently?
Self-control,
right?
I have one that says clear thinking.
Clear thinking.
Sound judgment.
Sound judgment, okay? To have a sound mind, God gives us this, and self-control is really important for us. Not flying off the handle when something happens. Huh? Everybody, I'm talking to the wrong group. You don't need to hear this. I will not go more than an hour after I get home, and I'll probably be upset with something I see on TV. I know that this happens to me, and I am sick of this, and it still happens, and I want it to end. You know? And that's right. This is some of the things that stupid little me is starting to learn. Turn the darn thing off or go into another room. Right?
Yes.
There are ways that we change the way we think and control our emotions. Sometimes, as the scripture says, you have to flee immorality. It's such a strong spirit. And believe me, that's a spirit battle there. Yeah, it looks like it's a physical, you're looking battle, but it's more than that. It's a spirit battle. And we have to flee. Sometimes you do. You have to flee from that. Right? So, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So, you know, changing our... How do we get out of being caught in a spirit of fear? What do you do? If we're to change our minds, if we're to have the mind of Christ and God gives us a sound mind and power and love, I think Chuck said something earlier at the very beginning of the service. What gets rid of fear?
Love.
More love. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Crying out, you know, if I'm so fearful, God, give me more love for that person or that situation. I need a way to get up above this fear. Mm. Don't I?
Did Christ run away from fear?
No.
He faced his fear.
Right. And he did it because of his love, right? So love is a really important thing. So that's why love is there. It says we didn't give a spirit of fear. We've been given a spirit of love. We've been given a spirit of power, which means that we have to move out in that stuff, right? We have to step out in that. And, you know, when fear is a thought that turns to an emotion, right? Fear doesn't just enter in here. It enters here first. A thought produces fear. And so that thought needs to be taken hold of. Right? And how does that happen? What do you do? Let's do this. The thought comes into your mind. You're nothing. You're not doing anything for God. All right, now what are you going to do about that? You're going to go, oh yeah, that's really true. What happens when you start agreeing with dark thoughts? They become stronger.
Yeah, it says take thoughts.
That's right.
You feel condemned.
And then you start feeling condemned. And you know what happens? You and I shrivel up. And because our thoughts aren't identifying with how God sees us. Because God doesn't see us that way, does he?
No.
It's kind of like with Gideon. He was hiding in a pit. And they come up and say, "Mighty man of valor." He said, "Who are you talking to?" Who are you talking to?
You can't be talking to me.
I'm down here hiding.
Right. And God changed all of that. Now I want to mention, I looked up something about that word self-control. What's wrapped up in that is this fact: reliance on God's grace.
Yes.
Your mind is in control when you are relying and believe that God will give you what you need for a situation. Right? Don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be fearful.
But you've got to take that step forward.
You have
in
to.
That.
That's right.
But you can't
we,
stand there.
That's right.
We, step forward.
Exactly. We co-labor with God. God gives us the power. He gives us the grace. But we've got to say, "I accept that, God." And I will go there. And I will speak to that person, although I'm not sure what that person's going to say to me, and I'm not looking forward to, you know, this or that. All right, I'm going to do it. Right? And then you do.
Malcolm?
Yeah, go ahead.
Suppose those thoughts that you just mentioned are true, though, then you need to deal with that head on and change, right?
Yeah, like give me an example of what you mean.
I'm not doing what...
Oh, I see, yeah. Yeah, I'm not doing it, and we're not. Well, what ends up happening? What do you do? Do you accept? You know, we have to accept what's true, and repent. Okay, so that's the other side of it. There's a time where you go, yeah, you know, there is some truth to that. I'm not going to be condemned. I see that I need to change there. God, help me to change. I mean, that's a good point, Steve. Right? But the enemy likes to go way beyond a lot of times. So that's what I was thinking about. But that's a very good point.
Self-examination is so important with that type of stuff.
Yep.
That's where that comes in. Somebody says something to you that may be down or something like that, and then you can either just toss it off the side right off the bat, or you can go back and say, like, yes. Is there truth to it or not?
Right.
If there's truth to it, then you got to deal with it. If there's no truth to it, then that's when you throw it over your shoulder.
Exactly.
But you can be honest with yourself.
You do.
Which is tricky.
That is tricky.
Yeah, Jack.
Though I grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yep. Right. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's things that, you know, we can't go around. Okay, let's see. Now, how am I doing now? How am I doing now, God? And then, you know, 2 minutes later, how am I doing now, God? We can't get caught in the self-examination in that mode. But you know what always happens? Situations come up that draw our attention to how we're acting or reacting or not doing when we should do any of that. So it's through the life experiences that God brings these things up to us to look at. And sometimes people are accusing us and there's nothing to it, and sometimes there is. And we have to take the time to look and see if there's like Reggie said, is there anything to what this person has said to me, right? So that I can change, so I can move on. Okay. All right. So now getting to what Sylvia said, 2 Corinthians chapter 10.
2 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, there's a bunch of strongholds in our mind. Isn't that where it's at? The stronghold isn't, somebody holding on to my arm. It's what's going on up here in our minds. That's where the strongholds are.
And God says that this is a war, and we have the weapons so that we can pull those strongholds in our minds down. Isn't that a great thing to know? You and I are not caught forever in the way that we think and act. We have the ability, we have the grace of God that can change things in our life. Whenever something happens and you go, God, I'm never going to get rid of that. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't say that again.
Right.
No. I failed again, but God, through the power of your Spirit, I'm picking myself back up. I'm going to continue down your path, your road. I don't care how many times I bloody my nose, I'm getting back up again, and I'm going to continue.
Amen.
That's what people, God is looking for people that are going to do that.
Yes.
Not going to give up and just go off into some, pity party existence. So, it goes on here in verse 5. Casting down, what's that word?
Imaginations.
Oh man, I have a very fertile imagination. I really can picture and take things and go down a very long road and play things out in my mind that, you know, are no good.
We all relate.
Well, I know. I know I'm not the only one. Jason?
I just read this the other day, Proverbs 24:16. It says, a righteous man will keep falling and getting back up, but a morally corrupt person will fall down and stay weighted down by misery and evil.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the very scripture that I think about a lot, is that, hey, I'm getting back up again. And you guys have to think that way too. Because we're all going to fall. We're all going to mess up. But God wants us to keep getting back up.
So do you interpret that you fail when you don't get back up? Is that the true failure, is when you don't get back up?
Yeah, that's the failure to the utmost. That, yeah, where you give up and that's the end of it. You know, sometimes maybe we fail for a while.
Okay.
And we might even go years, and then something clicks in us, and we come back to Christ and walking with Him in the way that we should. Yeah.
So this is Max Lucado's thought on thoughts. He says, your thoughts run your life.
Yes.
To listen to our vocabulary, you think we are the victims of our thoughts. Don't talk to me, we say, I'm in a bad mood. As if a mood were a place to which we were assigned. I can't call you, I'm in Bosnia. Rather than an emotion we permit. Or we say, don't mess with her, she has a bad disposition.
Mm.
Is a disposition something we have, like a cold or the flu? Are we the victims of the emotional bacteria of the season, or do we have a choice?
Yes.
Paul says we do. We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ.
Yes. Which is the very thing we're going to read here. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the process we're in. Changing our thoughts. Because, hear this, our thoughts make us who we are.
Yes.
Our thoughts frame the way we look at life. Our thoughts frame how we look at God and who we think God is. Right? We need to bathe our minds from the corrupt mind, that carnal mind that has controlled the way we've thought for our whole lives. We're still in process, aren't we? And there's not one of us here that has arrived. Right? So hopefully we'll all take this to heart today.
Malcolm, can I read one more thing?
Sure.
Max Lucado says, do you hear some battlefield jargon in that passage? Capture every thought, make it give up, and obey Christ. You get the impression that we are the soldiers and the thoughts are the enemies. Our assignment is to protect the boat and refuse entrance to trashy thoughts. The minute they appear on the dock, we go into action. This heart belongs to God, we declare, and you aren't getting on board until you change your allegiance.
Yeah.
he's good
like that. Okay. So, what I'm going to talk about here in taking every thought captive, I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, right toward the end. Our minds really have to be so bathed in the Word of God. Okay, so here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 9, and I guess I'll start in verse 25. And every man that strives for victory or mastery is self-controlled in all things.
Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. Now, let that be a thought that works into your mind. As we run the race that's set before us, and we are people that are moving in more in a sound mind, where our thoughts are becoming more His thoughts, because we're listening to Him. We're allowing Him to transform and renew the spirit of our mind. There is an incorruptible crown that we're going to receive. It's not a metaphor. It's something that God is going to give us. Whatever that crown is, some crown of glory, some bright, shining light, something that's going to crown us, that's going to be over us, around our heads, something that's going to be beautiful and it's going to be full of the glory of God, because He's going to rest that crown on us. That's going to be an amazing thing. To me, I think about that. If you really believe that, you go, I think I'd like one of those. I think I'd like an incorruptible crown. Well, there's something we can all do about it. We can be more self-controlled. Right? Look what it says next. I run in such a way, not with uncertainty, and I fight so, not as one that beats the air. You know? In our own thoughts, and I think it was Sylvia that said it, you know, our own thoughts lead to confusion, and we don't know what we're doing in life. We're just kind of bouncing through life and reacting to the things that happen. One thing happens and we're bounced around and then we start to steady off, and then something else, and we desire to fight against all that kind of stuff. But most of the time, you ever see when you were a little kid, okay? Well, the guys, probably not the girls, but the guys, I'm sure you were in a fight once or twice. Joe, maybe 100 times. But you know, I have seen plenty of fights when I was a kid. And there was the one that wasn't prepared, that was scared, that, you know, they're just throwing their arms out, they're just beating the air, and they're missing the guy by a mile, and then the guy, you know, just steps up, boom, and the guy's down. At least the fight's over with. but Paul says that, you know, there is a way to fight. There is a way to think and approach things. And you're not going to just be beating the air. When you are moving into spiritual battle, are we just beating the air? Darn that devil, blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing that we're receiving from God that's going out in the way that He wants us to speak toward a situation. We're just mad that this darn devil is there. Right? You understand that?
There's certain, I think I've mentioned this before, there are certain rules. Are you guys getting tired?
No.
You're okay, right? You're okay. So I've talked about this before. You know, Paul says in Timothy, he says, you know, you got to fight like a good soldier. And you have to fight according to the rules. Now, there are certain things that when we enter into a particular battle that we need to live by. And we have to exercise ourselves. Otherwise, we're just throwing our fists around in the spirit. So, Let's. I got three scriptures left. I'm feeling that some people are losing their spiritual energy here. God, kind of persevere, okay? Three more scriptures. I know you're going to think it's four or five, but all right. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. When you come up against some spirit that's working you over, spirit of fear, spirit of lust, whatever it is, what's the first thing that you have to do?
Should pray.
What's that?
Should pray.
The first step,
submit to the Lord,
is found here in what Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 29. Well, let's go to 28. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. How else can one enter into a strong man's house and plunder his goods, except that he first do what? You got to bind the strong man. And then you can plunder what he's doing to you. You can destroy it. You can take it. You can throw it out there. Throw it out. But you have to bind the strong man. What does that mean? What does it mean to bind the strong man?
I just read that in connection with our right to defend our homes and to keep and bear arms. And they quoted this.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
To first bind the man, make him helpless in his thoughts and in his physical condition to address a dangerous situation, and then they can come in and do all the things that they want. But first they have to bind him.
So the strong man, this spirit that's coming up against you, spirit of infirmity, spirit of fear, spirit of lust, spirit, whatever it is, because there's all kinds of spirits for everything.
Yes.
Everything that's wrong and evil in this world, there's a spirit behind it. Right?
Yes.
Anger, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says the first thing you do is you bind the strong man. So, tell me.
Word of God.
What? Remember that it's the thought that the enemy shoots at you, right? That produces the emotion, that produces whatever it is that leads you in the wrong way. The first thing you have to do is to stop that thought. You've got to take chains around that thought and say, that's the end of that. You bind the hand of the strong man. So that thought, you and I have to do this. This is, Jesus says, the first thing you do is to bind the strong man. There's a thought. You've got to come with an opposing thought. That's how you bind them. Right? Yeah, I feel like crap right now, but I am not going to allow this to take me in this particular direction. God, I take your spirit of healing and I apply it to my body right now. You understand? We have to bind the hand of the strong man. That's what we got to do. And that comes with a thought that opposes what's coming at you. You have a spirit of fear? No, I am strong in the Lord. I trust in God. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can approach binding that kind of of thought. Do you understand?
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying, right?
Yes.
Well,
you replace fear with courage.
Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's so many scriptures. We fight, we bind by using the Word of God.
Yes.
We bind by standing in His grace, knowing that He supplies to us the ability to meet any situation. Right?
Right.
Jesse?
So, example being the temptation of Christ.
Yes.
It brought back was by...
Yes.
Yeah.
And the enemy even used scripture to try to trip up Jesus.
Yes.
And then, so Jesus goes, oh yeah, it does say that. Oh my gosh. No, that isn't what he did. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus says, but it also says... You get that? It also says, because he knew what applied in that situation, right?
Amen.
Steve, you had your hand up.
Yeah, you have to be stronger than the strong man to bind him or tie him up.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in your own strength.
No, you can't do it in your own strength. Absolutely. And the thing that's going to do it is the Word of God.
You've got to know it. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I'm not going to get to the last one. Let's go to, this is one that you all know really well, so we won't take a whole bunch of time with it, but let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. This is more a reminder. I think most of us really... And you notice... When we start to read this about the armor of God, Melinda, what's the first thing in that list of putting on the armor?
Put on the full armor of God. Let's see. I said the sword of the Spirit. Let's see. For our struggles, I'm just questioning.
In verse 14.
Truth. Yes, stand firm. The belt of truth.
The belt of truth. That's the very first thing. You know why? Because what's coming at you are lies. What's coming at you are things to bring you down. And the way that you first have... This is binding the strong man. Coming back with the truth of God's Word. You got it? That's the very first thing, and it really connects with Matthew 12. You know, first thing you got to do is bind the strong man. So you have to have truth, and you've got to use truth, right? And then the next one is the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet needs to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What the heck does that mean? Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, shoes are for what?
Walking.
Okay. And preparation of the gospel of peace. So, gospel means good news. Peace.
No fear. You have peace. Like,
yeah.
From God.
Right? When's that going to happen? The gospel of peace is talking about what? When Jesus comes back, right? And sets up his kingdom. And we're to be preparing for that, aren't we? That helps us out, doesn't it? Knowing what's ahead for us helps us right now. It gives us hope. It gives us strength, doesn't it? Knowing that God has everything under control.
Amen.
And that we ultimately win in all of this. Taking up the shield of faith, we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. What's that mean? Why is it the helmet?
Mind.
But you have to accept Jesus.
Protect your mind.
Yeah, yeah. The helmet is what protects your mind, right? That's a very interesting one in terms of the what we're talking about here. And it's the helmet of salvation. You know what the enemy likes to do to people that have accepted Christ? You're not saved. You're not really saved. The enemy tries to work that a lie in us. Hey, I'm saved.
Amen.
You're saved.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You believe that? The enemy can't get you there. You got a helmet on that in that regard, right? And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And this is more, instead of defensive, where you're binding to hold off, this is where you're on an attack. You're going after something. You know, any of you that are praying for this country, let's say, you're on an attack. You're going forward on something. Right? You understand that? Have I said too much today?
No.
You understand what's going on here? And you know, our minds and our thoughts need to be washed with the Word. We need to just be bathed in worship and bathed in the reading of the Word. Because the more we do that, the easier it is for us to have something when the enemy comes at us to either bind him or go on the attack.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
You know, what's it say about music? I mean, I bet you all of you can remember songs back when you were a little kid.
Yep.
And you know all the words.
Yep.
I bet you don't know what your history teacher said to you in class back when you were a kid, or mathematics or whatever. Unless they sang it to you. But work, you know, music is a fantastic medium for getting the Word of God. And that's what's so great about worship time and listening to worship music, because those words are going to come back to you when you need them.
Yes.
And the more that you're listening, the more that you worship, the more that you're reading the Word of God, the more that we discuss things in Bible studies and whatever, the more prepared we are, so that we are, because our thoughts are going to be right. Make my mind right, God. Make our minds right today. Yeah.
Can I read to you what I say every morning?
You sure can. I'd like to know that.
Wear the full armor of God. I say this every morning before I go out the door. I have it like on my wall in my prayer room.
Yep.
And I just say, Lord, I dress in your armor today. I wear the helmet of salvation to protect my renewed mind. The breastplate of righteousness protects my heart. The belt of truth buckles around me so that I may be steady when the day gets rough. I wear shoes of peace for those I will encounter. I carry the shield of faith to deflect what the enemy would throw at me. The sword of the Word allows me to slay lies, doubt, and fear.
Mm.
And then I just tell him, go before me, my commander in chief, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I will follow.
Amen.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Oh,
every day.
Every day. I say that.
We all want you to write that down. We're going to run it off, and we'll get it to copies out to anybody that wants it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. That's excellent. Amen. So Lord, we just ask that you make our minds right. That we would be moved by your thoughts. That we would take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That we're in this process. Lord, we give our hearts to you in a deeper and greater way. That we could move in your mind. Do as you want us to do, as you speak to us, Lord. That we would hear you. That we would
not allow other thoughts to control how we think, who we are, how we act, how we do anything, Lord, but that we would be controlled by your voice. And that, Lord, teach us
to bind the enemy and to move in the armor of God, that we would have the right thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray.